Hello, Screeters. I am utterly and completely stunned. I'd say stunned into silence, but I'm not being quiet. I'm more like stunned into talking, and I wanted to share it with y'all. I should tell you, I do have a lot of call-ins and emails and messages from people concerning my man, Aaron Coleman, who passed away on
Thanksgiving in November.
And I really appreciate those, but I've had a lot of resistance concerning doing that episode. So that is not the episode today. Instead, I want to talk about a few things.
In half a mile, turn right onto Schrader Road.
That occurred and that I have done in gaming. So, buckle up, boyos and girlios, and I should tell you that today is December 19th, 2023. I'm turning on Schrader Road. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random Screed. Don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right. First up, I want to talk about the new OSC campaign I'm tentatively entitling Transients of Eastwatch. I think I've detailed it a little bit in the past. It's strange how this game even came about. And I'll probably retell you right now, just for posterity's sake. My cousin Todd Hobbs contacted me because a person he indirectly knows contacted him to see if he would run a game for a new group of gamers, a face-to-face game. The wife of the guy we'll call Mikey is very, very good friends with my cousin Todd's daughter, Brittany. Now, Todd has exclaimed to me in the past that Brittany contacted him and asked if her second cousin, Jason, actually had a podcast about D&D because other people had brought it up to her. Now, maybe that isn't that surprising to y'all, but it's super surprising to me considering Brittany lives in Alabama. And so out of the blue, just because her last name was Hobbs, someone asked if she knew Jason Hobbs. Anyway, that's a kind of a distant anecdote, but Todd said that he didn't want to run a game for Mikey and his new gaming group, but asked me if I would. So Mikey contacted me. We got together with this new group of guys who have only played 5th edition and no longer than a year or two. So relatively new gamers. There's 4 of them. And I definitely caught a vibe that they knew each other pretty well, but not like childhood friends or anything like that. I learned they were all prison guards together. So they all worked together. I didn't really know what to expect because in our communications before the game started, I always say that even old school gamers have had session zeros, but they don't always do it as a session. They may do it as like a blue booking in a Discord or over text or messaging or whatever, but it's very similar.
Half a mile, turn right onto Airport Road.
There's always been a pitch and discussion about how you're going to do character generation and all those things. But this isn't about that. This is really just about this new campaign. I didn't know how long it was going to be. They had never played any game about 5th edition.
Take the next right onto Airport Road.
Just as an example of how new they are to the, industry or the hobby, one of them recently asked, "Hey, have you ever heard of Warhammer?" And I was like, yeah, obviously. Nobody else had. So I find that super interesting, and I'm not used to that sort of crowd. So there have been a little bit of growing pains, but it's also very, very refreshing. And it was a great learning experience for me to understand that the lexicon of gaming does exist, because there were so many things that I would say that they really had no context or understanding of. And we throw these terms around all the time, like front-loaded character generation, old-school gaming, emergent play, all these things that you hear everybody talking about on the Anchorite podcast, and the terms that they're using were absolutely foreign to all of these guys. So I had to recalibrate the way I communicated with them, because otherwise there was no purpose. If they don't understand the words I'm using or the terms, then there's no real base. But slowly, I think it's coming around, and I've got a lot of really good feedback about how that sort of player feels about the old school game. One guy said, "This is exactly the same. It's just a lot simpler and easier." Another guy was like, "Wow, I can't believe there aren't short rests and long rests. This is amazing that the group can't just take 10 minutes and they're ready to go again after almost being killed." So, pretty interesting. We've been through three sessions. I'm using one of the ideas that I had is I really wanted it to be classic in feel. So I wanted it to be kind of like the Keep on the Borderlands, but I didn't want to use the Keep on the Borderlands because, in hot take and transparent, it's really not that great of a product to use. The ideas, the theme, the aesthetic, all fantastic. But the actual content, I don't think it's that great. Anyway, I used something from the Unknown GM for the Unknown GM's own system, which I don't remember what it's called, but the area is called the Farlands, I believe. I'm terming it Eastwatch because I took it wholesale and stuck it in my Emergent Empires campaign. To the east of Battleby Ridge, which is kind of that no man's land between the Nordborn and the Keldoran Empire that was once the lands of the Rornic peoples. And still is, but they are now semi-conquered by the Keldorans. Anyway, we didn't get too deep in the woods about all of my specific lands of Eret or the Emergent Empires, but they are slowly learning that information. In the first session, I pretty much used an adventure straight out of the product from the Unknown GM, or it might be Unknown DM, Dungeon Master. It's probably Unknown Dungeon Master. That there's like a single wagon headed towards Skenrith Keep. Skenrith Keep is their concept of the keep. And a few days out, the driver wants to look in on an old military buddy.
In half a mile, turn left onto Bethany Road.
On the farm, and when they get to the farm, trouble ensues, blah, blah, blah. The way that they reacted to the trouble was pretty interesting and novel and not what I expected. But I used it straight out of the book, like I said, at first. And then I realized, often realized, that when I use published material, I'm unquestionably not sure what the content is, and I'm constantly looking back at it.
Continue on Bethany Road for 2 miles.
And I don't like that. And so after that first session, I adjusted all of it into my own, making a new map and then a new map after that for the third session. So the first session was exploring the top of this moat house that is near the farm that I talked about previously. The second session was delving into the ruined cellars beneath that moat house, which I have now termed Barrow Hall. The Lords of Barrow Hall, which I came up with my own little reason why that is and added it into my, you know, Emergent Empire stuff, and it fits really, really nice. I'm super excited about it. In the second session, the thief perished from a surprise attack by chokers, which I've been wanting to use chokers ever since someone suggested chokers and a hag on Twitter during the early stages of Dungeon 23 this year. So how all these things interact in my brain are fascinating to me, probably boring to y'all. But anyway, he perished and he made a new character, which was a wizard. And they had kind of finished the first level of the under area of Barrel Hall. And then they, and the idea was that they would continue because they're searching for the farmer's son. And that's how we left it at the end of session two. And so I made a whole nother level that dropped into a field invasion. The field is my own take on Mind Flayer culture. And spoiler alert for Emergent Empires, the field live on the dark side of one of the moons. And for centuries, they've been trying to get back and invade and eat all the brains of the cultures on the Emergent Empire setting. I first introduced the field in the North March, which was an online campaign that we've had two seasons of, probably 10 or 11 sessions, but it's barely untapped, and I really kind of dig it.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto Peace Road.
So anyway, I really was, you know, kind of deep cutting into the field structures and what they might be like. But in the very first room, they found their new companion, who was the player's new character.
Turn right onto Peace Road.
And they freed him, and then they left. They were like, nope, this seems too dangerous. Peace out. We aren't interested in your dungeon that you lovingly hand drew and populated and studied and prepared for. And you know what I said? Cool. Great. Let's move on. Unfortunately, I was planning on that being it, and I was traveling kind of light, so I had little to no products that would
take
help
the next
me
left onto Mercantile Drive.
Detail Skenrith Keep in the way I wanted to, as opposed to the original product from the Unknown Dungeon Master. So I spent about 10 minutes poring over my phone.
In a quarter mile, turn right.
Getting some rumors and some information from Dungeon, the website that can randomly generate like inns and rumors and who's in the tavern at the time, all that sort
turn
of
right,
thing.
Then turn left.
I also found some rumors in the product and detailed some of the areas. Now, what I have found
in 600 feet, your destination will be on the right.
Is one of the players continues to say that, oh, I should cut back on the RP because it's slowing us down. I'm realizing that I really haven't played with some heavy role players in a while, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself for feeling like I've...
Your destination is on the right.
Sort of lost. I feel like I've sort of lost that type of game, which I used to be able to interchange between fantasy adventure gaming and role-playing gaming just naturally without an issue. But now I don't know that I've done that. Like, but at the same time, do I even want to? Like, this player wanted to role play shopping and talking to people, and I was immediately turned off by that. But then I realized it was because he wanted information from them, not because he just wanted to buy stuff from them. So there is have been, like I said, some growing pains, but overall really enjoyed it. At the last hour of the session, I realized I could create a dungeon beneath Skenrith Keep itself, so they didn't have to travel and examine the areas that I did give them. Another interesting tidbit that I found is they weren't interested in the second dungeon level of Skenrith Keep. They also did not bite on the idea that it was called Barrel Hall, and the notice that there were Barrel Wood is where the lands that the Lords of Barrel Hall held court over. And so I said, it's woods with all these barrel mounds in it. And I think most people that I play with would be like, oh, shit, let's head to these barrel mounds and get some treasure. But these guys didn't even think about that. And I also didn't point it out directly. I gave them a couple other rumors, like I said, in the tavern, which I hated, that's called Red Dragon Inn. They seemed to like that because they like that board game. But to me, I was like, yeah, that's so generic. Anyhow, this is kind of one of the games that I've been playing. I will go into the one next when I get back from Menards. The other game that I've been talking about recently that I'm running is Tales of Argosa. Tales of Argosa is a streamed game that is a playtest for the second edition Low Fantasy Gaming Rules, strangely entitled Tales of Argosa. We have 4 or 5 sessions.
Continue on Peace Road for 1.5 miles.
That we've gotten in the last months since August, I believe. So not a ton, but that's the way my schedule is. And we've had great fun. I think the system is better. The name of the system is way better. And I'm looking forward to a stretch goal of writing an adventure for Tales of Argosa. I heard the Kickstarter is coming 2024, early quarter, possibly January. So not far. So I should get my ass moving on this adventure. In the game itself, I had 2 players for the first few sessions, and then another player joined in, fortunately. It's not easy for people to schedule a weekly game that it's very possible that I'll miss, but won't know that I'm going to miss it until noon, and the game's in a few hours after that. So, but if you are available on Wednesday evenings around 7 p.m. Central Time, check it out on the old YouTubes or the Twitch channel. Don't have nearly the following for the live games that we once had, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, the true answer to success in podcasting and media empiring is consistency. And I'm about the opposite of that.
Better route available.
But as far as it goes with the Tales of Argosa, spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear, then move forward to the next segment. I was using a Roan gaming product, which is Randy M., who did a map for Low Fantasy Gaming Deluxe Edition, and many maps other than that. I think he is probably one of the most well-known isometric beyond Skull Fungus, which is more of a cartoony style. Randy M. is more of a realistic style. And I think he's most known for his products surrounding Spirit Bay, or the Bay of Spirits, as I think it's colloquially known. So anyway, Tales of Argosa. I really was trying to reboot my Midlands campaigns in with the aesthetic or the ambient feel more closely tied to Steve Grodzicki, the author's vision. Less magic, more grit. It was really kind of a high tension horror scenario the way I ran it, as opposed to D&D fantasy. Definitely sword and sorcery, but I would feel not like pulp sword and sorcery, but more horror sword and sorcery, where there's definitely more feeling of intensity and tension than breakneck action, like I think you would think of as in the pulps. That wrapped up. I think it was 5 or 6 sessions, so you can go check it out. We are going to return to that
in a quarter mile,
after
turn left onto Illinois 64 West State Street
after the new year, with mostly new characters, as the session ended in almost a TPK.
Turn left onto Illinois 64 West, West State Street.
One of the characters was chased off, and the other two were killed. So if you want to see how that went down and how I screwed it up or how I got it just exactly right, go check out the sessions on YouTube. I got a playlist.
Continue on Illinois 64 West for 19 miles.
Tales of Argosa. So go check that out and tune in when we return to it in the new year. All right. After all that, I don't think that you could quite bottle or define my exuberance over learning that Bryce at 10-foot pole reviewed the excavation of the tomb of Lornanane. I think it just came out last night. Jay Murphy from Vanishing Tower Press, Vanishing Tower Podcast, all things Vanishing Tower, let me know over on the Gamerhood Discord that Bryce had reviewed it. And another spoiler alert, he marked it as the best. This is crazy and stunning to me. I mean, I released that product in 2018. And why he decided to review it now, I don't know. He, in his blog, he said that he was curious to check out some zines, but he didn't want to do zines that were involved in whatever Kickstarter called it, Zine Quest. Yeah, Zine Quest. I wanted to call it Zine Fest, which maybe is a better name, maybe not. Maybe best name, maybe not. Anyway, and he gave it the best. He really liked the art, which is surprising as I talked to Hawk about it, my artist, and he feels that, it was some of the worst art. That was like his return to art and his premier effort in the OSR space, zining space, whatever. So that is crazy. So I would implore you to go check out that review on the 10footpole.org. And hey, check out the product on DriveThruRPG. If you want a printed copy, there were some at some point at Goodman Games. And contact me through Twitter at OSRNHobbs, at Hobbs665, at Blue Sky, or email me at hnfhobbs@gmail.com. Love to hear what you guys all think about that review and the product. I'm considering running it at BSRCon for a few different efforts to see what people think. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Maybe I'll run it at North Texas this year or GaryCon off the books. I don't know. What I do know, that's all, folks.